Moneyinthebank.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
I'm Sonny Gable.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always liked the good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior? Surprise, surprise, he ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host,
Here Kitty. Here Kitty.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're
good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as usual, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin. Who's not going to talk,
who is busy pouring water into a cup of ice. Hi, everybody. How are you? What's going on?
Happy Thursday.
It's a happy, happy Thursday.
Yes. And we have a ton of stuff to get into. We are going to be talking about NXT Unstoppable. We're going to be talking about Payback. We've got news. I think we have SmackDown. Do we have SmackDown?
It is a Thursday, so...
Thursday.
We'll talk a little
Thursday.
We'll talk a little SmackDown as we do Payback.
That sounds good to me. So yeah, we have a ton to get into, and we're going to jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. And while we have to open with probably the biggest, most developing story of the week, this one's going to be brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, because it is in fact a TNA story, and that is the ever-growing story that TNA has supposedly been canceled by Destination America.
Yeah. There's a report coming. All right, so Lindsay's going to break down the report here in a second, but it's coming to us from the Wrestling Observer, basically stating that Destination America decided to cancel Impact Wrestling at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah. So this got broken out last night.
During TakeOver.
During TakeOver, mind you.
We were sitting here, holy crap, we might have a major story. Holy crap.
Yeah, holy crap. And what's interesting is this came out of a story from The Observer. There's a lot of stuff going on in this report where basically Meltzer is breaking down the numbers for ROH, TNA, Lucha Underground, and Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes.
Where New Japan Wrestle Kingdom, where he's talking about their numbers, he's talking about basically who the number one and number two brands are, and this is a combined story. But what's interesting is about halfway down, Meltzer reports that on 5/15, TNA and Destination America announced the show was moving to from Friday to Wednesday night. The 5/29 show will be the last Friday show, and then on 6/3, they debut on Wednesday. In Canada, the Fight Network is following suit, moving the show from Friday night to Wednesday night. And it goes on to talk about the move and everything. But what's interesting is in there, and I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, it's about the final four paragraphs down.
He basically says the TNA is going to be canceled or has been canceled.
The word
by Destination America.
Yeah, here it is. The word internally was that while they were considered good ratings, the ratings were not good enough to justify the cost of the programming. The other problem was that so many regular station advertisers specifically did not want to advertise on the show. It should be noted that when word was sent out, it was stated specifically that TNA would remain on Friday nights with original episodes until that point, and informing people for the fall season plan on Friday night. Just days later, they were moved to Wednesday. The decision was meant to be kept secret, very much like Spike kept a secret publicly last year. Its decision to drop TNA for months after the decision was made and reported. It doesn't serve the station or the promotion any good publicity to publicly cancel the show this far in advance. The public acknowledgement was expected to come around the time the station listed its 2015-2016 television schedule primetime lineup with the launch of upfront advertising. Those who were informed of cancellation have not been told at this point anything different several days until several days after the change of the date was announced. But things obviously have changed, at least to the degree of moving days, so this story is very much ongoing.
Yeah.
Alright, so that's that point, and we'll get into, you know, ad rates and everything later. But that's the crux of where it's at, what has happened, and everything.
Now, what's interesting is that you would expect TNA to immediately respond. You would expect Destination America to immediately respond to this report. And I was talking to Rock about this before the show because we were watching this all day because it broke last night. We've been kind of keeping an eye on this all day. And Destination America has yet to comment on anything that I've seen. And TNA released a statement today at 5 o'clock, almost 24 hours after the story broke, about
22 hours after the fact.
Yeah, 21 to 22 hours after the fact. They released a statement that basically said that
Here it is. It has come to our attention that several internet news sources have falsely attributed statements to TNA, its executives, and broadcasting partner. These false statements constitute
defamation of character.
I got it, defamation. And if necessary, we will seek all legal remedies available to us.
What's interesting about that is they don't ask for the statements to be taken down.
No, they don't.
Which is, you would figure would be the first thing, is that they would request that the statements be removed prior to threatening legal action. Instead, they just go right for legal action, which is very interesting.
Right.
And also, there's no denial anywhere in there, really, that what was reported isn't true.
Correct.
They never came out and said the deal is still solid. No, that's never been confirmed. And people inside TNA, from Bob Ryder to Billy Corgan, also have not denied that this story is 100% false.
Their statements have basically said, you know, Bob Ryder talked about how people have been out for 13 years saying we've been going out of business. The story does not say they're going out of business.
The story says that their TV deal's been canceled.
Their TV show has been canceled in the United States.
Which, honestly, if this is true and TNA has lost their U.S. TV deal, they're in a world of hurt.
Now, people are wondering, why is TNA being canceled? Is it because of low ratings? No, as we talked about in the beginning statement, no. The ratings actually are, for the network they're on, are pretty good. They're well above Destination America average, which is why Spike TV kept them around for a long time, because they were above Spike TV average. Problem is advertising.
Yeah, it's money. Destination America isn't a big network. They can't afford to lose money on any shows that they bring on. and advertising dollars talk, and the fact that none of your advertisers want their products basically shown in correlation with TNA speaks volumes. And TNA also didn't bring any advertisers that I know of in with them. They just came in with their ratings, and I guess everybody assumed that they were going to be able to sell advertising based on the ratings and that kind of thing, not realizing how hard it is to sell advertising during wrestling. It's something that WWE struggles with and still has problems with to this day, despite the fact that they went PG.
Right.
It's even harder for TNA because TNA does not have a PG product. TNA is a lot more out there in terms of the violence and the sex and the language and everything else, and so a lot of family-friendly companies are not going to want to be associated with that.
Right. WWE has a lot of partnership deals for merchandise and whatever, but as far as sponsorships on the show, they're very limited in what they can get, but they have advertising and runs throughout the show, and you don't see a lot of USA Network advertising during Raw or SmackDown, Raw or SmackDown can go with Sci-Fi and coming up USA Network, but you only see that right before the show returns, you see in USA Network. When you watch TNA, and if you stick through the commercials, it's all Destination America ads. There's a very rare ad for an actual product of some sort. Mostly, it's television show ads on the network, meaning you're not able to sell advertising, and that's been the trouble with this show. The numbers have been dropping a little bit, but guess what? They're still hanging in there decently for the network, but they're not able to sell. They're not making any money. So if you're unable to sell ads, you're not making any money. So you're just basically putting out money towards TNA and not getting anything in return. Because TNA is not making any money off of their television because it's taped in Orlando.
Yeah, they're not making any money off their shows. As far as I'm aware, they're not touring anywhere.
No. There's one scheduled event in September.
Where?
I will go to ImpactWrestling.com and tell you.
Is it the one in China? Because the one in China got canceled.
No. There's a three. They have a tour. Here, we're going to their touring schedule. They have an Impact Live, September 17th, the live tour, at Grandstand York, Pennsylvania, at the York Fairground.
So that's...
And they have three dates in Manchester, Wembley, and Birmingham in January.
So your next touring date is 4 months away?
Yes.
And your next... And after that, it's...
January. They're hoping to...
Four months.
Yeah, 4 months after that. They're hoping to book more shows, but...
The question is do they have the running capital to be able to do that?
No. Because you're not making any money, because there's so much money they have to put into these shows. And it's sort of like, if you can't sell tickets, and that's why going on the road was actually beneficial at times, but again, they weren't drawing very well, you have to sell tickets to make some money. So they're not doing any live events, so there's no money coming in. So all your money is coming in on merchandise and your television.
Right.
And most of your television deal money goes to pay for television and your talent when you can afford to pay your talent.
And that's a really good transition for our next story. We're going to keep an eye on this one, and we'll let you know what goes down with it. Could be an angle. Could be legit. Nobody's entirely sure what's going on with it right now, but it's a very interesting, developing story.
Yeah, this whole thing with them. Yeah, we're going to keep an eye on this story because there's a lot involved. And before we go into the other story, well, talk about the other story and then we'll work our way back.
So the other story, and it's more bad news for TNA, unfortunately, is that they are being sued for back pay by none other than Eric Bischoff and Garrett Bischoff.
Along with Jason Hervey.
Jason Hervey.
Yeah.
Whoever that is.
He's the kid from Wonder Years. You know who that is now?
Which kid?
He was on, he was Wayne Arnold in Wonder Years.
Oh!
So basically what it is, because Eric Bischoff and Jason Hervey are a production company.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Okay,
they're
Bischoff Hervey Entertainment.
Okay, so yeah, they're business partners. So the business partners and Garrett are suing TNA for what, the cool sum of over $100,000?
$114,000. $500,000.02.
Because you got to have those 2 pennies.
Because that the 2 pennies are coming from money that's owed to Gary Bischoff in a separate deal. Yeah, so, yeah, Hervey and Bischoff are listed together under their company, Bischoff Hervey Entertainment. They were hired on a pay-or-play basis and claim TNA owes them $101,500 in unpaid money for January 2015 through March 2015. They are also seeking the cost of entering this action, including reasonable attorney fees. Hervey and Eric Bischoff serve as executive producers for TNA and were given a base fee of $426,800 per year, which was payable in monthly installments. Garrett was originally part of BAG's first agreement with TNA. He signed a separate talent agreement on October 24, 2012, and claims that TNA owes him $13,002 in unpaid compensation for October 2014 through March 2015. Garrett's deal included monthly compensation of $2,166.67 on a player pay basis, and an additional $500 for paid performances. His contract expired on March 31st. The lawsuit states that TNA made payments in a timely manner through September 2014. BAG attorneys notified TNA on November 4, 2014 that of a breach in the terms of agreement for October pay and advised that the company had 20 days to rectify the situation. A second notice was issued 20 days later notifying TNA they had failed to cure the breach. TNA eventually issued payment of $101,500 on or before January 1, 2015. According to the lawsuit, however, BAG is seeking that same amount of unpaid for the final 3 months of their contract, which expired at the end of March. Out there.
Yeah. Very, 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 very interesting. Don't know if they're going to get it. What doesn't play in TNA's favor right now is the fact that there are multiple stories going around that they are back on their pay on the talent and the production crew. And so that supports Bischoff's claim.
Right.
Which you don't want, but at the same time, because they were paid the money that they had asked for and they're asking for additional, they may not get it. But this is going to have to be something that's going to need to be watched.
Yeah, when the money was sent, you did not make it clear whether it was in connection with the settlement offered that was on the table or a reinstatement by TNA reads the letter from Brian Lewis, the BHE attorney, responding to Guy Blake's letter. For the TNA's attorney. TNA did not make a request for BHE perform services when the money was sent. He went on to write that BHE stands ready, willing, and able to perform under an agreement in the event TNA is reinstating that agreement. TNA has yet to formally respond to the lawsuit. It's worth noting TNA has also fallen behind, as we mentioned, by paying wrestlers and production crew workers at various times in the past year. So, there's that.
Yeah. Very, interesting, but you wanted to circle back around to something.
Yeah, I wanted to circle around back down to the TNA deal. If TNA is off of Destination America, the question then lies, what is next? They are in a position where they've been canceled twice in a year. If this is true, you have to wonder what type of television network is willing to pick up a program that's been canceled twice.
It's not even that they've been canceled twice. It's that you can't sell advertising for it. That's being made apparently clear, and nobody's going to want to pick them up because you can't make money off of them.
Now here's where the interesting comes about. The Chosen One, Double J, Jeff Jarrett, has a promotion out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is looking to get a television deal on his own. What happens there? It's now you have two companies trying to fight in a market that where places don't want to pick up wrestling. Now you're going to possibly have two companies searching for television. That makes it tough, not just for TNA, but for Jeff Jarrett.
Well, it doesn't help Jeff Jarrett, especially since his name is still tied to TNA, because he helped found it. Jarrett, I think, is a little bit better connected. I think they will find a home for GFW, and I think they would be willing to play ball a little bit more than TNA does.
Right.
I don't know how difficult they are to negotiate with, but I have a feeling since Jarrett's trying to get a deal that he will find one. It may not be the best deal. They may end up on FSN again. I mean, they may end up on iPay-per-view. Nobody really knows, but if they can get GFW to TV, they've got the money and the structure in place to possibly be able to take it off, make it take off.
Right.
It just kind of depends what marketing they throw behind it. And marketing has never been Jeff Jarrett's strong suit. And that's evident with TNA. They never focused on marketing. That's been their problem. One of their problems really from day one is they relied on word of mouth. They relied on street teams, and that's great. But when you start trying to enter into the national market, you need to spend money on advertising. And they just never really done that. And now that's kind of why they're in the situation is that they're in, because nobody realizes they're out there.
No. No, they don't.
And it's really sad because TNA for a long time had a really strong product, and most wrestling fans didn't know they existed.
And to be fair, their product has gotten better lately. It's more focused than it's been in a long... Back at the end of the Spike TV era, they were completely not focused. They have a focus right now, but no one knows it.
Yeah, because you don't know where to find it.
You don't know where to find it, and then if you do find it, it's Friday night, 9 o'clock. I still have last week's episode on the DVR.
Now, to be fair, Destination America does more promotion for TNA than Spike did.
Well, not really. They bought the one set of advertising, and that's been it.
Yeah, but you see other things for them.
You do a little, but not a lot.
Not a lot, but they're doing a little bit more than Spike. But the thing is if Jarrett can get buzz around GFW and he can get something going with it that attracts a television deal, that's what you want to go for. You don't want to walk in there and try and sell wrestling because nobody wants to buy wrestling right now. You have to make someone want to buy wrestling, and you have to have buzz around it.
Yeah, and right now there's no buzz.
So,
I should say that around TNA. There's no buzz around TNA right now. There's a buzz about one promotion.
There's no positive buzz around TNA.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it.
But, I mean, in terms of GFW, everybody's very curious. I think once they can get their first show on the air, whether it's iPay-per-view or whatever, that will help generate buzz, especially if it's really, really good, which looking at the roster, it may very well be. But it all depends on how they book it.
This is very, very true. By the way, before we transition, we give a shout out to Adrian. Listen all the way in the UK this morning.
Hi, Adrian.
Thank you for joining us live in the chat room. You can do it as well. Come to wildtalkradio.com. This is The Rack Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio or at WTRTheRack as well.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about NXT later. We got Payback to come here in a little bit. So much to get into. We got more news.
So much news.
We got more news presented, as always, by PWMania.com.
Well, you mentioned NXT.
I did.
Well, we have to offer congratulations because Matt Bloom, a.k.a. Albert, has been officially confirmed as the brand new head NXT trainer. So go him. And then Sarah Del Rey has been promoted to the assistant head trainer. So go her.
Go her. That's awesome.
That's amazing that, you know, Sarah Del Rey is the assistant head trainer of NXT. Hey.
Right.
Good things going down there, so congratulations to them.
Yeah, she's going to bring a lot of... She works up in the main roster as well. She's going to bring a lot of information from the main roster to the girls and guys down in NXT when she's there at the Performance Center, which is cool.
Yeah, which is very cool. And also...
Hunter had very nice things to say about both of them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it. And how they move forward after DeMott.
Yeah.
Should be fairly, not to overuse the word, interesting.
Right. Another NXT note is that Triple H did a conference call and was basically talking about his goals for 2016. He's using this year, 2015, with all the little bit of touring they're doing, as sort of a test run. But he has a goal for 2016 to basically have an A show of touring and a B show of touring. Mainly the people who are on TV working the main tour going on a regular tour like SmackDown or All Brands do, and have a local tour with the people who are on TV so they still get some experience in front of the Florida crowd.
Come to Atlanta.
Well, that's when you would see the main talent, but so they could do their local shows like they do right now with a smaller group and take the main stars elsewhere. I like the idea.
I like the idea, too. I mean, any exposure to what the main roster goes through is good for them. It helps them to decide if this is really what they want to do, you know, aside from the everyday wear and tear of wrestling. But I, you know, from what I've always heard, the hardest part of it is the travel schedule, because the travel schedule is just murder.
Right.
And so anything that can kind of give them exposure to that is helpful. because it helps with the transition, obviously, when they move up to the main roster, because they're already used to that travel schedule a little bit. And also, it just gives them exposure in different cities. You know, they go to the same cities in Florida all the time, and after a while, you get used to the crowds, because the same crowds kind of show up.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, you know, if you watched TakeOver last night, you saw them talking to the talent about when they were in New York and how loud the building was and how excited the talent were for that crowd because they were just super hot. And it was something a lot of them have never really experienced before, is to get in front of a crowd like that. And that's beneficial to them because, again, when they go to the main roster, they will deal with crowds like that. They will deal with quiet crowds. But it's nice for them to be able to experience new fans and new people and new environments and get used to that. So, you know, again, once they get to where they need to be, they're not fazed by it. They're not shaken by it. It's, oh, hey, already dealt with this. I'm cool. And the fact that he wants to take it on the road so everybody can see it, I'm okay with this. Because that means I don't have to go down to Orlando to see NXT. Which I am 100% okay with. Like, if they come to Atlanta, I will buy tickets. I will go. Because I want to see NXT. I had a friend who went to the Philly show, and she said it was insane. That's the thing, is it's NXT is one of the hottest things, if not the hottest thing in wrestling right now. Because of just for what they're doing. I mean, how would you not want to go to that?
It's pretty amazing, and they're all excited. And we'll talk about this later. It's one thing you know about NXT. They're excited. They're happy. They're enjoying what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. They're driven. And it's just such a pleasure to watch. So, you know, if that's what Hunter wants to do with it, I have 100% faith in whatever Hunter wants to do.
Yes.
Hunter knows what he's doing. Just let him do the thing. Give him the money, let him do the thing. It will pay off.
It will.
But speaking of doing the thing, quick note, Entourage will be on Raw this week. Minus
Jeremy Piven. Yeah, minus Jeremy Piven. You got Adrian Grenier, Kevin Connolly, due to play Johnny Drama, because I can't remember his name. Kevin Dillon is his name, and the dude who plays Turtle. Jerry something or other. Forever.
Whatever. Turtle.
I love the show Entourage. It's an amazing show. I can't wait for the movie.
Never really watched it, but I'll take your word for
it. It's a great show. It's a very enjoyable show.
I've heard it's a great show. My dad loves Entourage.
It's a great show. I'm excited for them to be there. It's Summerfest.
Woohoo! And, well, this next one, I'm super jealous, but we have to report it. Steve Austin is coming back with a series of interviews. They announced Paul Heyman, who's going to be on June 1st. And they've also announced several other interviews that will be coming up with Steve Austin, including Hulk Hogan, Sting, and the one interview the entire internet podcasting community would kill to get, The Undertaker. Thank you. I would kill to get Heyman. I would seriously kill to get Taker. Like, I saw that, and I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? It's like they finally convinced Taker to do press. Finally convinced him to do it, and it's Austin. One interview. That's it. It's like, oh, man.
At least he's gonna talk.
There is that, because he does one interview every 5 years.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But should be an exciting series. I'm really looking forward to Austin and Heyman, because you know they're just going to
talk,
shoot shit, tell stories.
And everything in between.
So, bless you, Steve Austin. Well done. I hate you. I'm so jealous. Get a ticker.
I know.
And I don't want to have a transition for this.
Since The Undertaker is a diva, let's talk about the other divas.
Really? 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 You better hope he never hears that, because he'll smite you.
Well, you know he's a diva.
I know he's married to a diva.
All right, there's your transition.
So speaking of divas, It was announced Total Divas will be returning in July. However, they are not returning on Sunday nights. Yay! They're actually moving to Tuesday nights, and the show will debut on July 7th, which is really convenient for us because that's actually when we do the Rack Extra. So the fact that it's going to be on a Tuesday means we can do it live.
Yeah, not live for you all here, but...
Yeah, we record it live and then we'll release it. But yeah. That makes it so much easier because then we don't have to coordinate DVRs.
Yeah, that's always a struggle. Though it comes in handy a couple times, but...
It does come in handy when we get really lengthy, but I'm okay with this.
I'm okay with this, yes. It'll start July 7th at 9 p.m. Eastern on E!, which is so happens to be an hour after Tough Enough airs on the USA Network, so... Synergy.
No break. At least the Royals and Once Upon a Time are on hiatus, so we're good.
We're good. But no, that's great synergy because at the end of Tough Enough, they can go say, go tune into the E! Network and listen to watch Total Divas.
Ding!
Synergy.
It's almost like they planned that.
Right?
Bravo to whoever did that. But anyway, that's the news brought to you again by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.com. I say we take our first break of the evening.
I say we do.
And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about SmackDown and Payback. We're also going to be doing Tweet of the Week. Don't want to miss that. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNAsylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. But to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now, we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So,
Tweet of the Week.
Bray Wyatt. My decisions will always be questioned. This is the revolutionary in me, but when I die, I become immortal, forever remembered against all. Bray Wyatt. It all must change. We are the ants. Kill the scorpion. Hashtag down with the machine.
Sting.
Bray Wyatt. The movement began yesterday.
Sting.
Paige. My flight attendant looked like Raul Silva from Skyfall. Wasn't mad at it. Dustin Max.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Prima.
May I continue?
Dustin Max. Date night with at real Paige WWE, hashtag food porn, at Doritos, mac and cheese. To which Paige replied, cheese emoji please, ASAP.
Prima.
And it's not a tweet, but I have to say it. Roman Reigns, eating a cheesecake. Shit, my Dean's in trouble sense are tingling. His Dean sense is tingling, y'all, because it's an epic romance. Anyway, I'm done. And brains. Ship it.
Oh, man.
This is why I should not be allowed on the internet, ever.
No, this is why you should be allowed on the internet, that's for sure. because this is where I'm stalling for time because I was looking for something to play.
You were looking for something. It's not on the soundboard. How is it not on the soundboard?
See, it's in a different folder because it was on the old computer. What I was looking for. So, you know. Because you mentioned Roman and Dean and they need help, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shag, hump, insert, erect, lick, dick, shield.
Yes! I forgot about that. Oh my god. For those of you that don't know who that was, we're not going to tell you.
He's a Christian fan.
He's totally a Christian fan, and he's going to murder you, but oh my god, it was amazing.
I was like, I should have brought it over to the other computer. No, it's on the other hard drive. I can get to the hard drive. Let's get to the other hard drive in 20 folders later. Anyway.
The test to see if he's really listening or not.
Yeah, I don't think he's listening right this second. He will be.
No, no, he's not.
He's too busy working.
Because we would have gotten a message by now.
Yeah, I'll get a message tomorrow at some point, probably. chat room liked it.
Listen to us play Cards Against Humanity every Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, where you will hear more shit like that. Just saying. Yes, fact. Continue.
Kyle Edwards, you've won second prize in a beauty contest. Collect $10, sad face. Hashtag Phonopoly. Hashtag road trip. Hashtag NXT Albany. Dana O'Neill, wish horses were Mr. Ed. Would they say toughen up or humans are nuts? I would say they say humans are nuts. Kyle Lewis, keep it 5-star. If this doesn't work out for Axel and Sandow, they could always be Hulk Hogan and Macho Man in Times Square and make some money. Hashtag WWE payback. WWE creative-ish. So does this mean we'll eventually get a real Curtis Axel pasta maker? Pasta maker or sex tape.
Ew.
Yeah, keep it 5 stars. As great as the fake makeup powers are, they can't beat fake Legion of Doom. This is like playing fake Super WrestleMania for SNES. Hashtag WWE payback. Dolph Ziggler's denim vest, bandana, and bedazzled tights are a constant reminder that Sandra the seamstress is no longer in WWE. Robert Flores, I think Rusev just said boys to men for some reason. Hashtag WWE payback. Three-man booth. If Owens had stepped on the U.S. title and sang, oh, Canada, we would have been done. Hashtag wrong. Keep it 5-star. Fandango 2013 fad searches for a tag partner and finds none other than Zack Ryder 2011 fad. Hashtag wrong. Keep it 5-star. Nikki Bella, by WWE logic, we're friends because I'm face now. Paige. Screw WWE logic. This is my house. DDT's Nikki. Hashtag raw. Three-man booth. Kevin Owens and John Cena Elimination Chamber. Shut up and take my money. Oh, wait. You already have my money. Hashtag raw. Keep it 5-star. Don't worry. Dean Ambrose has infinitive lives. He'll be back next week. Hashtag raw. WWE creative-ish. Women's title? Hey, at WWE NXT, we hate to be the one to tell you, but you spelled divas wrong. And where's the damn butterfly? Hashtag NXT takeover. That is Tweet of the Week.
Well, we're going to be talking TakeOver a little bit later in the show. We're saving that one for the end because...
It's the main event of the show.
It's the main event of the show, let's be honest. It was better than what we're about to talk about.
Yeah, this was better than Extreme Rules.
We should say we're about to talk about Payback. Yeah, this was better than Extreme Rules. We're going to try to be positive. Emphasis on try. So we're just going to talk about the main event, right? That's all we're going to talk about.
We're going to go through the matches really quickly and sort of we'll really hit the main event hard.
Yeah.
All right. So it opened on the pre-show. You got a bonus match because that's what they call it. R-Truth and Stardust. We have backhand slaps all around. And it was a basic match. R-Truth won.
Yay.
By WWE logic, that now put him into the Elimination Chamber for the Intercontinental Championship because he won.
Yay.
I guess. We had Ask Sheamus, the hashtag, and he was not happy by the questions. He said his hair represents change, and he represents fear, so is he the new hair of fear?
Well, the face of fear is already taken, so yeah, I guess you gotta be the hair of fear. I don't know, maybe he could be the ass of fear?
But he wasn't talking about his ass.
But he was so eager to show it. Oh wait, he wasn't.
No.
That was Ziggler.
We have the Meta Mega Powers taking on the Ascension, and as Axel, as we saw tonight on SmackDown, as well as on the pre-show, he was dressed as Hulk Hogan.
Okay, I will give them this. They've got the mannerisms down to a science. I mean, Axel and Sandow have had to have watched a lot of tape.
Their WWE Network subscription is getting a lot of use right now.
Yeah, to get that down to the level that they have it. I mean, they've done a wonderful job with the impressions. That being said, why? Why are we doing this? Why are we imitating the 80s? I don't understand. Somebody please explain this to me. Why are we having Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage imitations in 2015? Somebody please explain it. Because I don't understand it. Bless them because it gives them something to do, but I don't, out of all the people you can imitate, why are we doing that in 2015? Why?
Now, this was only thrown around on Tumblr by Tumblr people, and I thought this was interesting. You have Hulk Hogan as Curtis Axel. You have Sandow as Randy Savage, so they need an Ultimate Warrior. Make it Zack Ryder.
No. Just no.
60 Degrees of Sandow brought that up, so by the way, happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday to you.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting, because they would probably do something like that. Anyway, Axel hawked up right away, big boot, leg drop, two count, Ascension took control, and, well, Mandel then ran wild and goes to the top rope, got caught, and, well, shoved off, followed man to Mandel, Ascension win.
Yay.
Nothing really to the match.
Yeah, I mean, I went back and watched it. It was okay. Like I said, the best thing about it was the impressions, but again, I don't understand why we're doing those impressions in 2015.
We then get to the main show, and it opened up with Sheamus and Dolph Ziggler. This was where I correctly called this. I said we would get ass cheek. We got ass cheek.
Tasteful ass cheek.
Side ass cheek.
Dolph Ziggler was really, really, really eager to pull down his pants, or pull up his pants in this case.
Or pull them to the side or whatever.
He wanted to show off those glutes really badly.
But I did call that correctly.
You did call that correctly. It was Dolph that did it. Not surprised that it was Dolph. This was actually a pretty good match.
Better than last month.
Better than last month. The two got really physical. Dolph got a really nasty cut the hard way on his forehead. He was bleeding towards the end of the match. Because, yeah, it's like you're sitting there and you're watching it, and it's like, oh, Sheamus, it's like there's blood. Somebody's bleeding. Somebody's really bleeding.
Yeah, Ziggler went for the nailed him with a headbutt and knocked himself pretty good with the cut 10 stitches later.
Yeah, 10 stitches later, Dolph Ziggler's all good to go. But this was a solid opener.
Shane was one with a bro kick to the bloody Ziggler. Yeah.
Yeah, so solid opener.
Better than last month. Anyway, moving on. We had Rollins backstage. He wants to put everything between him and Kane. And, well, Kane said he doesn't even watch Kane Sass Rollins back to walk out champion because, you know, he's got all the money. He's made it millions of dollars. He's not like his brother who has many divorces. Anyway.
Shh. Yeah. Kane's been smart with his money.
Yes. Yes, it was. Which leads to a match that was really, really good. At WWE 2-3 Falls Tag Team Title Match, The New Day versus Cesaro and Kidd. First fall went to Cesaro and Kidd, which with the giant swing and the dropkick, which was really nice. There was a nice spot where Cesaro did a jump from one guy to the other, the double stomp. He was on one person's chest and stomped onto the other one's chest. I thought that was a really cool creative spot.
Mm-hmm.
Woods was screaming, Freebird roll, and was like, nope, no Freebird roll. You can't get in this match.
No matter how much you want to.
Yeah, the second fall was pretty right. They worked over Kidd a lot. Cesaro was down on the outside for the majority of it because they took him out. Kidd went for a hot tag but had no partner, but eventually rolled a Big E for a two count. But Kidd got caught eventually in a big ending combo because Kofi really mistimed his spot and just sort of landed on him after the spot was over with. But that being said, they timed the fall. We get to the third fall, really aggressive stuff. A lot of back and forth. There was a nice spot we hit with the uppercuts. One really vicious one by Cesaro to Kofi Kingston. There was a nice springboard elbow backbreaker combination for a two count. We had a sharpshooter. Big E got overset over the announce table. Just mentioned Big E caught in the second fall, caught Tyson Kidd as he dove through the ropes into a suplex. Ooh, that was awesome.
That was sick.
That was pretty amazing. Cesaro, another cool spot. Cesaro saved Kidd from falling to the outside. It's like he bent his back so he could flip back into the ring. He was different and unique. Eventually, Woods came in, slid into the ring. He was the illegal man, and small package Cesaro and New Day won because, you know, all black guys look alike.
Yeah, maybe not so much. But, yeah, they applied the Freebird rule and picked up the win. So, yay, New Day. Go, New Day.
Yes, go New Day. Ryback then said he's going to eat the Eater of Worlds. Which leads us to Ryback versus Bray Wyatt.
It was there.
Go for it. Talk about it.
It was there. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I was not looking forward to this match. I really, really, really didn't like the pairing of Ryback and Bray Wyatt.
I'm going to explain something to you. She was closing her eyes. Tell me when it's over. Tell me when it's over. Please tell me when this is over.
I was still saying there's time for somebody to get food poisoning before this match ever happens. There's still time.
That being said, it was better than I thought it would be.
It was better than I thought it would be. It was not the most spectacular thing that I've seen.
Very sloppy.
Very sloppy. They don't bring out the best in each other. There was a spot on the outside where Bray went for the senton off the ring apron, and Ryback didn't catch him.
He got his elbows up, and that's where he sort of hurt himself.
Yeah, he had his elbows on his side when Bray came down for the landing. Ryback didn't catch him right, and, well, Ryback hurt his rib because his elbow went into his ribs. And that probably didn't feel good on Bray either. But, yeah, I mean, it was there. It was solid. It did what it needed to do. Bray Wyatt picks up the victory over Ryback after throwing him into the turnbuckle, the exposed turnbuckle. That he yanked off. So Bray Wyatt picks up your victory. Yay, go Bray.
Yeah, Ryback had a hard time, it seemed like, moving Bray around a little bit. Like, for a big guy, for being the big guy, he's been looking a little weak, the big guy has, even though he has a whole bunch of muscle.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a hard time picking Bray up a couple times. Like, to get Bray up into the shell-shocked, he had to get him, basically pick him up off the second rope, but that could be attributed to the injured ribs.
Could be.
And I think that's part of it, but yeah, I mean, this was just, they really didn't have chemistry together, and it was just kind of difficult to watch. So, I mean, bravo to both of them for trying, but yeah, this was, please don't ever do this again. Ever. Please. Thank you. Next match.
Lindsay, do you have a microphone handy?
I have one on my head.
Well, you gotta take it and go ask someone repeatedly, do you quit? Do you quit?
Oh god, not this.
Do you quit? Do you quit? Do you quit?
Hey Rock, do you quit?
No.
How about now? Do you quit now?
No.
I hate how they do I quit matches. I really, really do. Like, don't ask somebody when they throw on an armbar if they quit in the first 2 minutes of the match. It's John Cena, for the love of God. Wait till he's been electrocuted.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Rusev wanted to quit early, didn't quit. Kept asking him to quit. The fans wanted Lana. Rusev told her to take a seat. She did. A onto his steps. Rusev didn't quit. Cena says he's going to put Rusev through a wall. Rusev says he doesn't quit. Cena put him through the wall. Cena gets kicked in the face when trying to hit Rusev with a case. Rusev put Cena through a table, or tried to put him through a table. Cena escapes. Cena sets up a table. Rusev is screaming. Ref put Mike by his face. Laptop to the back of Rusev. Rusev hit under table. Rusev put Cena through table with Spinebuster a couple times. Finally broke. Cena doesn't quit. Cena with an A sending Rusev into a table with Pyro. Rusev didn't quit. Rusev gets put into the old school barricade, or hit with the old school barricade, because it's old school, it's aluminum, it's steel. Rusev didn't quit. Cena sets it up on the side of the ring. Suplex by Rusev on guardrail. Cena doesn't quit. Accolade. Cena tries to fight out, falls to knees, passes out, doesn't quit. Rusev is pulling off the top rope. Rusev wakes him up with water, and to quote Lindsay, Rusev goes to fuck Cena up the ass with the rope. Cena counters into the STF with the rope.
To be fair, he took the rope off, and it's like, okay, he's either going to strangle him or he's going to screw him up the ass at the end. And the way he was holding it, it looked like he was going for the ladder. It honestly did. It's like, okay, that would be a first.
Yeah.
That would definitely be a first.
It would be.
But the match was better towards the end.
Yeah, we should finish it up. Cena put the STF on with the rope. Lana comes in and said Rusev quit.
Yeah, and somebody needed to fix her hair.
Well,
but
yeah, her braid was falling out.
Her braid fell out. The match was better towards the end. It was really slow to start. It took them a while to to just go at it. I mean, they were kind of pussyfooting around it a little bit, trying to, I guess, feel each other out, figure out what they wanted to do. And what made it difficult to watch was every 5 minutes or every time somebody threw on a hold or something, the ref was asking, you know, do you quit? And I just wish for WWE that when they're going to do an I Quit match, that it's like, wait until you get into the most violent part of it. Like, if somebody's got an armbar on, don't ask them if they're going to quit, especially given who was in this match, because they're not. We all know they're not. We're not stupid. We can figure that out, that with the first hold in, they're not going to quit. It's not going to be, oh, somebody punches you. Oh, my God, I didn't realize what I was getting into. I quit. Like, nobody does that. Wait till, you know, they're trying to throw each other around through tables and guardrails and everything else before you start asking that question.
Pain, punishment, torture.
Yeah, all those things. Wait for those. Then you ask that question. But, you know, just if they're feeling each other out and they're only minorly throwing each other around, not so much. But, yeah, this was long. This was slow. This was not the best. I think everybody was honestly waiting for Lana to turn.
Which she did Monday night. Yeah. I'm so glad we're done with Ryback, Rusev and Cena. Thought their first match was the best of the series. I've thought they've gotten worse ever since. But that's just my opinion. Other people think they're great matches.
For what it was good. It's just kind of it's seriously another one of those feuds where you sit there and you look at it and you watch the matches and you know who's going to win. It's Cena. We all know Cena's going to win. It's a fact at this point. And so it's really hard to watch feuds with John Cena because you know how they're going to turn out. They're extremely predictable because it's always the same. LOL, Cena wins. So it doesn't make them nearly as enjoyable. And because of that, it's just really hard to watch.
Pretty much.
Just saying.
So the New Day was backstage. They were toasting with Milk and Pinky's out.
Yes, Pinky's out. Mark Manners. It's important.
We then had the Bella Twins taking on Tamina and Naomi. It didn't look like Tamina was in the ring much. Tamina, though, had a nice kick to the face of Bray. Tamina kicking bitches' faces in since however long she's been there.
Yep.
That's another Lindsay quote.
This is what happens when I watch wrestling. He writes stuff down.
I was taking notes for the show.
It's content.
You know.
Right. It's content.
You know. Anyway, Brie made a hot tag, Nikki with clothesline, and Spinebuster Tamina went for a kick, got trick, drop kick out of the ring, Tamina distraction, rear view two count. Brie takes out Tamina on the outside, Nikki hits the Spinebuster two count, Brie gets tossed into the barricade, Naomi launches Nikki off the top rope, and gets pinned. So, Naomi and Tamina win in a solid match.
This is actually pretty good. Very enjoyable. Liked it. Liked the physicality of it. Looked like Tamina got hurt on the outside.
But she seemed okay since.
She seemed okay since, so might have just been she got a little dazed or something, but this was solid. I mean, better than the I Quit match.
We then had Rusev pacing around backstage. He was screaming at Lana. Rusev tells Lana to get out, and she got out.
Basically.
Neville and King Barrett, very sloppy. Very, very sloppy, this one. Not up to the caliber they usually have. It was very sloppy. It was a solid match, but very sloppy. It looked like they, honestly, it looked like they got their time cut in this match.
Yeah, I think they did.
So they were trying to get their 10-minute match in 5 minutes. That's the way, honestly the way it felt watching it. It's like Neville was trying too hard to get everything done quickly because their time probably got cut late because everything else probably got quit and everything else ran long, so that's what happens when you're in a spot before the main event. The main event needs all the time, so the match before it gets shortchanged.
Yeah, and that really sucks because I was actually looking forward to Barrett and Neville based on their encounter at the last pay-per-view. I was really looking forward to that, and it was kind of disappointing that this was sloppy and quick and
had an awful finish.
As
Barrett,
yeah.
As Barrett got rolled out and got counted out, and then he came in attacked after the match. But then Neville got his revenge with a suplex, and then sort of broke his scepter or his crown or something, and hit something broke and hit the red arrow afterwards. So Neville won by count out, but and also laid out Barrett. I don't know why he just went. Anyway, that. Wasn't really sure. We then had the final confrontation between Kane and Seth Rollins, where Kane said good luck, all happy-go-lucky came. Which brings us to the main event, WWE Championship, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Randy Orton, and Roman Reigns.
Oh my god, this was so good. This was the best thing on this show, as it should be.
Easily.
These four guys had great chemistry. You would expect at least three of them to, considering the fact that they were once a Shield. This just, it imploded immediately. Everybody went for Seth, which was hilarious. Cause it's like, we're sitting here and we're watching it, and we're watching everybody walk out, and they're all looking at him. It's like, who's gonna jump first? Who's gonna go first? Oh, it's Dean.
Yeah, and they, J&J security got involved right from the beginning. Dean dove on Orton and Rollins, Roman dives on everyone, but barely cleared the top rope with his foot. Almost got it caught. He got pretty good height, but his coming down his back leg almost hit it. Roman and Dean took turns beating on Rollins, which was awesome. Kane stopped the Superman punch. Dean tries to attack Kane. Kane throws him back into the ring. Kane goes after Orton. Rollins with a spine buster, 2 count. Turnbuckle powerbomb, superkick, 2 count. Dean goes crazy on J&J. Chokeslam by Kane to Ambrose, 2 count. Kane gets Roman dropkicked. Orton takes out Roman. And then the match slowed down because Orton was in control.
Mm-hmm.
Orton took out Ambrose. Orton looks like he's going to use an announce table. 3-on-1 on Orton. Oh no, what's this? What's going to happen here? Could it be? Could it be?
Shag,
is it the reuniting of the Shield?
Lick, dick, Shield.
We'll try that again.
Shag, hump, insert, erect, lick, dick, Shield.
Twice in one show, he is going to kill you.
You know, since it was already there, I had to play it again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We got the 3-on-1 triple powerbomb by the Shield.
Yep. And they were all excited, they were celebrating, it was a great moment, everybody lost their minds. And then, you know, they're all three standing there, and Seth sticks out his fist, he's like, yeah guys, yeah, that was awesome! And Roman and Dean both look at him and like, yeah, yeah, you're still not forgiven, we're still gonna kill you.
It's like, come on boys, come on, I got, we did good, the fist, come on, fist.
Come on,
fist.
do the thing! And they're like,
no, we're... No.
To be fair, Roman did stick out his fist, it just impacted Seth's face.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, yeah. But it was a really, really cool moment. Loved it, loved the reactions afterwards. And the best part about this whole thing was everybody was dead, except for Seth and Dean, Roman and Dean, excuse me. And they're both looking at each other and they're like, well, there's nothing else to do, I guess you and I are gonna have to fight. And Dean's like, yep. Guess so, and Roman goes, loser by the Spears.
Yeah, yeah.
That was just awesome.
Yeah, before that point, Ambrose and Reigns powerbomb Kane, they laid out Rollins on the table, they powerbomb Kane onto Rollins on the table, and the table didn't break. And the look on Kane's face when they picked him back up to do it again, was like, oh god, not again.
Yeah, he's like, wait, let's talk about this, we only agreed to once. And, well, he went through a second time.
And that time the table broke.
Yeah, thankfully. Kane just laid there.
Yeah, we had Ambrose and Reigns for a while roll up into a powerbomb, 2 count by Reigns. Superman punch, miss, roll up, 2 count. Superman punch, 2 count. Spear, miss, dirty deeds, miss, spear. Rollins breaks it up. Superman punch to Rollins, Dean clotheslines Roman's dirty deeds to Seth Rollins, Kane pulls him out. Kane with the steps to Dean, and then Roman flew into the steps. So they're knocked out. We had a chokeslam onto the steps. Orton then attacks Kane, RKO to J&J, DDT to Rollins, RKO to Kane, and a pedigree to Randy Orton.
And your winner, and still WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Seth Rollins. This was a great, great match.
Match of the night, hands down, no arguments.
Yeah, I mean this...
Anywhere, there was no arguments anywhere from anyone.
No, this delivered, which it was supposed to deliver. I think a lot of people maybe toned it down a little bit because of this match, and who was in it, and they knew that no matter what happened, the show was getting stolen by the main event. Because you've got Seth, Dean, and Roman in that match. And Seth and Dean are going to lose their minds no matter what you put them in. So they're going to do something stupid.
Yeah, but as we saw with TakeOver, which we're going to talk about here in a bit, that shouldn't matter.
No, that shouldn't matter. But in this case, And this isn't the first time that that's happened where a lot of the other matches, they haven't stepped up because they know they just don't want to compete with a big match on the card that they know everybody's looking forward to.
Very good point.
So, yeah, this isn't the first time that's happened. Little disappointed that they didn't step up. But, I mean, this match overall was very, very good. Made it worth sitting all the rest.
Like, we were just getting through the match, getting through the show. We were sitting here talking the entire time, and it's like, all right, let's get to the main event. And, oh my god, this main event was awesome. This was a lot of fun. To go through the picks, we had Mandel and Axel. The 8-Ball had Ascension, so the 8-Ball picked up that win. We had all three of us had Wyatt over Ryback, so we lost that one. 8-Ball had the Bellas. We had Naomi and Tamina. We had Ziggler. The 8-Ball had Sheamus. I had Barrett. You and the 8-Ball had Neville. We had the New Day. He had Kidd and Cesaro. Cena. We had 8-Ball had Rusev. And the 8-Ball had a disputed finish. We both had Rollins. So we took down the 8-Ball tonight for the first time.
Yes!
The 8-Ball went 4-4, I went 5-3, you went 6-2.
Ha ha!
So, for right now, you got me.
Yeah, I got you for right now.
You got me for right now. Yeah, this was a better showing than Extreme Rules, but it did not hold a candle to what we're talking about next.
No, it did not. So, when we come back, we are going to be talking about the other big show from this week, NXT TakeOver Unstoppable. You don't want to miss it. A lot happened on that show, and we're going to break it all down for you. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. I'm gonna warn you. I know something you don't, that's me coming for you. You want war, we got war, we just want to warn you. War for war, bodies that hit the ground. You ready for us, cause it's about to go down. Push them to the left, push them to the right, load the choppers up, hit them on sight, never turn it back, I'd have been in hell and back. Me running out of guns, no, never heard of that. I ain't never ran from a gunfight. This is you and me, mano y mano, you damn right. Don't act like you don't know.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer of the show.
Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why does Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, look, Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait, what?
I am your host with the most, The Godfather of Extreme. Big. Wow. Insult myself real bad. Wow.
Alright, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it.
Forget.
Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
Hi. I'm Bob. Your Godfather Tree. For whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live. Midnight Eastern Time. Or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. We are back, and we are here to talk all about last night's super-duper exciting, because it's an oh-my-god kind of show, NXT TakeOver Unstoppable, and this show was unstoppable.
He's gonna kill you, he's gonna kill you.
We're gonna get into Murder Bear 1 and Murder Bear 2, because there's now two, a little bit later.
Wait, I should change that. She's gonna kill you. She's gonna kill you.
Yep. But top to bottom, TakeOver was a fantastic show. They weren't lying when they said, you don't want to miss this. Y'all, if you miss this, for the love of God, find a copy and watch it. This was 10 times better than Payback.
Oh, yeah. You heard a review of Payback just a little while ago, and this show right here was amazing. It was energetic. I think that's the best way to describe this show. It was energetic.
It was energetic. They put some real effort behind it. You can tell they put some real effort behind it. They reconfigured the area, or I should say the space, made it feel larger. They upgraded the entrance ramp. They had a really cool light up ramp. They had lights behind the superstars as they came out. They had the videos, and everybody got new gear.
Just about, except for the main eventers.
Except for the main eventers. Everybody got new gear.
Yeah, everyone had new gear, new lighting, everything. This was amazing. And we sat here and watched this show going, holy crap, did you see that? Holy crap, I can't believe what I just saw. Oh my god, are they trying to kill each other? Yes they are. Oh my god.
Somebody call the cops, cause they just stole the show.
And it started from the beginning, and it just like, match after match after match, everyone was trying to outdo the other. And that's what's great about a show. This had a great flow to it the entire night.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it peaked. It started off very hot, continued. It lowered it down a little bit and kept going and going, lowering back down. And then you went back up with that ride. Ooh.
Yeah, and there was one point where we were watching it, and it's in the middle of the women's match where it's, oh, my God, the main event's next. Oh, my God. Like, this show flew by.
Yeah, it really, 2 hours... It's just the perfect amount of time for this show. Cause if it went three, you would have got
three would have been too much.
Two.
An hour is not long enough.
Two is great.
Two is perfect. who's absolutely perfect for these specials. So I say we dive right into it. And we got to talk about what happened on the pre-show, which was the whole Hideo Itami situation. As we reported a couple weeks ago, Hideo got hurt. Everybody's wondering what they were going to do for TakeOver because he was in the number one contenders match. They did address it by having Hideo being shown in the parking lot via fan, in quotations, which I kind of like that it was fan footage, after he was attacked and clutching his shoulder.
Yeah. The fans were interviewing so Carmella and Enzo and Cass as they got out of the car, and everyone was screaming, what's going on? They all ran over to Hideo, and the best part about it, he's sitting there writhing in pain, and everyone's trying to check on him. Kevin Owens walks by in his NXT t-shirt and goes, well, that's gotta suck, basically.
That's unfortunate. I think that's what he said, is that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love how everybody's dressed up, they're in suits, and Kevin Owen walks by in jeans and a t-shirt. Well done, Kevin.
In his performance center gear, yeah.
Yeah. Totally got dressed up for this.
So Hideo Itami, they said, has a torn rotator cuff, probably out a few months. At least six, as we reported a few weeks ago.
Yeah, at least six to eight. So we'll have to, you know, see how Hideo goes and hope that he gets well soon.
Yeah, hopefully he gets well soon. Now, before we get into what was amazing and awesome in the first 10 minutes, if Hideo was involved, what would he have done?
I can't imagine this match with Hideo, but I kind of want to.
Yeah.
Because we have to talk about the first match of the night, which was the number one contenders match. And the entrances alone made this match. I would have loved to have seen what they did for Hideo.
Right, because it was sort of like, okay, we gotta break this down. So first, you had Tyler Breeze come out with a whole catwalk type entrance.
He had models. They were modeling the Spring Collection 2015. They had their little, basically all of Tyler's old furry jackets and tail thingies. And they had phones. And then while Tyler himself came out in his cape, he had a cape.
No selfie stick. He had a cape. Yeah.
I'm loving the cape.
That was kind of epic. And he owned the catwalk.
Oh, he was working it. He was amazing. Just Tyler's entrance by itself was awesome.
That entrance right there was worth $9.99.
Yeah. Close.
If you didn't think that one was worth $9.99, check out the next one for Finn Balor. Holy crap.
I don't have words for Balor. I really, really don't, beyond he had spikes. He looked like some kind of demonic stegosaurus.
Yeah.
But it was awesome.
Yeah, that was sort of the phrase being thrown around. The demon arrived, as they called it. If you haven't seen it, King Kittens, go buy the network, King Kittens, and go watch the show, King Kittens.
Yeah. Like I said, if you missed this show, go watch this show. I mean, if you're complaining about non-quality wrestling, for the love of God, go watch NXT, because anything NXT seems to do blows the regular product out of the water.
Because they're all there, they're all excited to be on the show and excited to perform.
Yeah. Balor came out, he had his wig thing, he had this amazing paint job, he looked like a demonic Segastorus, he had spikes, and then when he stood up he had bat wings. I mean, it was just, and Balor came out, the crowd was super into it, and just, it was amazing. God, I wish I could have been there live for that.
That was cool. Like, legit, that was freaking cool.
I want to see Balor's entrance at a Mania. I want to see them do that kind of entrance at WrestleMania. I'm digging Balor. Really, seriously digging Balor.
And from interviews he said, he's not ready to leave NXT.
Oh, I certainly hope not.
He's enjoying himself right now.
As he should. I mean, he's already grown leaps and bounds since he's arrived this summer. Or this past summer. Winter, whenever he showed up.
No, it was close to last fall.
Last fall. And just, yeah, I mean, Hideo has improved leaps and bounds. Finn has improved leaps and bounds. I'm really excited for Finn Balor. I think he's going to bring something super special to the product that we haven't seen before.
Or in a very long time.
I think he's unique enough on his own that we haven't seen him do it.
Oh, yeah. but he has that look, that presence that can take over a company. And it'll be very interesting to see how he's booked going forward in NXT and then when it goes up to the main roster, because that look, that persona, can be very special.
Yeah.
Because it like, the demon side of Finn Balor really works, can work on a grand stage.
Oh, yeah.
Normal Finn Balor is cool and all, but demon Finn Balor.
Yeah, I wouldn't do demon Finn Balor all the time. I wouldn't do it for Raw. I would do it for pay-per-views like what they do now, where they have him pull it out for the really special events, and they paint him up for the really special events.
Because it takes like
that's four, when you get to see it.
Yeah, it takes like 4 hours to get painted up like that.
Oh yeah, every bit. And that's not even the most extravagant paint job he's ever done. The stuff he used to do on the indies was incredible. And what he's doing now is starting to rival that, especially this job where he had the eyeball drawn on and the spots. And it's like, it looked like something had been clawing at his legs and his legs were bleeding. And he had like little demon things coming up from inside his trunks, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, the way that they did the whole paint job this time was really, 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 really cool. We could go on about the entrances, but we probably need to talk about the match.
Yeah, we should talk about the match, because the match itself was really, really good. You had Tyler Breeze, who wore down Finn for a while. Finn made his comeback on the comeback, which included a double foot stomp to the back of on the outside, which was nice and different.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved, like, throughout the different parts of the match, Finn would just slowly stalk Tyler Breeze in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
He had that slow movement going tonight, or last night, I should say. And, yeah. Balor connected with a nice sling blade, but then ran into a supermodel kick for a long two count. Tyler Breeze was untying the top turnbuckle, and, well, that sort of played a part as the week went on. He beat Balor down in the corner. Breeze went for a splash, stopped himself because he knew, hey, I don't want to smash my pretty face. Finn hit the turnbuckle. Beauty shot. 1, 2, 3. Not to be. Finn Balor kicked out. Balor lays Breeze out on the ramp, he surprised Breeze on the ramp, jumped him from behind, laid him down. Then Finn disappeared for a second, went, where is he? He was up on the set, because with
Finn goes high risk.
Because the way they have it set up, there's something you can walk on top of it now, because of how they have the lights and everything. And he dove off it right down on the Breeze, and as he was up on there, the fans were chanting, please don't die, please don't die, please don't
right.
die. It was awesome.
It's like, please don't break your neck, Finn. Please don't. We love you.
Right. Even though it wasn't a super huge dive height-wise, it's sort of like you're basically dive off the top rope. But
yeah.
It was still impressive. He then back in the ring, running dropkick in the corner, and then the double stomp for the win. Finn Balor is victorious, and now is the number one contender, Kevin Owens, NXT Championship.
That'll be good. We've seen it before. I would see it again. I would pay to see it again. I will pay to see it again because it's only on the network and it's $9.99 and it will be worth the $9.99 to see that again. Like, I just, this is just, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to rewatch the show again and
yeah.
again and again and again because it was kind of awesome. All right, so Finn Balor picks up the win. Cool. Nice start.
Great start.
It was exciting. It got you hyped up for this show. It got you into the show. Because, again, as we mentioned, as we went for a while and just on the entrances, because the entrances were epic, it just, this opening 10, 15, 20 minutes of the show, it just really sucked you in.
It's perfect. It was absolutely perfect. It was a great opener. Again, I would have loved to have seen Hideo in this mix just to see what he would have added. And I know at some point we will see that mix. But not right now because obviously Hideo is out. But this was a great, great match. Wonderful opener. And like you said, it just sucked you in. I mean, the 2 hours for this show did not feel like 2 hours. It felt like an hour.
It really, really did.
And all the matches on this show were long. They got plenty of time to do what they wanted. And you really saw on every match it delivered, but this one especially, because this was the opener. This is going to set the pace for the whole damn show. And it delivered. Top to bottom, delivered. They went out there and they showed their best.
Yes, 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 they did.
Because, well, Stephanie McMahon was sitting front row.
Yes, yes, she was.
I don't know if she sat front row the whole show, but she was sitting in front row. So continuing on from this, we get the first of two, count them, two Divas matches on this show. This makes me so happy as a female wrestling fan to see the women represented. And they were well represented as we had Charlotte and Bayley taking on Emma and Dana Brooke. Charlotte came out. She did her little cartwheel. She did her woo. Bayley came out. She had her streamers. She had her slap bracelets, her, you know, wacky inflatable tube men. They hugged and, you know, just looked great together. They both had new gear. You know, that's going to be the theme of the night. Everybody got new gear. Dana Brooke and Emma came out first, though. They were little less huggy and friendly, but still friendly. I don't know.
They shook hands and everything.
They shook hands. They were the heels of the situation, so they got to be baddies. But
I love that Charlotte hugged Bayley.
That was so cute. Bayley is adorable. Please, for the love of God, market everything with Bayley's face on it. I want like pop. I want a pop vinyl of Bayley.
That would be awesome.
With her little streamers and everything. I want one. Mm-hmm. I wish to God they would make one, because I would buy it.
That would be pretty cool.
Do you hear me, WWE? I know you are within the sound of my voice. Please, make a pop vinyl Bayley.
Yeah, anyway, into the match we go. We had a nice slingshot clothesline combo by Bayley and Charlotte. Bayley had a nice sliding dropkick through the post onto Emma and Dana. Bayley at one point got yanked off the top rope, hit her head on turnbuckle, which was like, ow. We then had an evil Emma chant, which was kind of awesome.
That was adorable.
Like, we want Emma, and then they were also chanting evil Emma. I was like, oh, wow, the crowd's into this one tonight. There was one point Emma did a mocking hug to Bayley, then the smirk on her face was like, oh, shit. She knocked her down with a big right hand afterwards. Charlotte eventually got the hot tag, ran wild with chops to Dana and tossed Emma out of the ring. The distraction on Dana to take back control, though. Charlotte did a cartwheel through a double clothesline and hit double DDT, which was really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Emma hit a crossbody, but Charlotte rolled through, locked in the figure eight. This is where I thought this was an awesome finish. It was because it was different and unique. So she has the figure eight locked in. Bayley slides underneath, trying to stop Dana Brooke from interfering. She takes her out. And then Charlotte hit natural selection on Emma for the win. I just loved that Bayley was able to slide underneath perfectly, stopping her. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
It was an awesome, unique, different finish. Charlotte and Bayley picked up the win.
Great, great match. Solid continuation from the number one contenders. The girls had an excellent showing. Again, they got time. They're able to get everything in that they wanted to get in. They clearly weren't rushed. They had just a really, really, really great match.
Yeah. We should go back really quickly. We had Finn Balor, the eight ball had Tyler Breeze, but we all took Dana and Emma. And we all lost that one.
I'm okay with that.
All right, I'm just going through the picks at this point. All right, so good two matches. I would say this was the better of the two tag matches on the show as well.
Yeah, between the two tag matches, which were back to back, I would say this was the better one.
They also did a strut afterwards, which was kind of awesome.
It was so adorable.
All right, so in the match, we hope really wasn't super long in it. An overall grand screen wasn't overly long. You had Rhino taking on Baron Corbin. Corbin has definitely gone heel.
Yes.
They brought around ringside. Corbin eventually took control of Rhino, just pounded on him over and over in the ring, in the corner. Rhino made a comeback, got cut off with headbutts from Rhino. Rhino though eventually hit a spinebuster, which was really nice for a two count. Rhino was going for the gore. Corbin countered with a clothesline and then hit end of days for the victory. Your winner, Baron Corbin.
Not surprising Corbin won.
No, not surprising. Even though you picked Rhino.
Eh.
So there's a magic 8-ball. So, eh. Take that 8-ball.
Do you feel better?
I do feel better.
You know, this was the one match I think I was worried about on the show because it was just like, this could be either really good or really bad. Mm-hmm. This wasn't super duper good, but this was not super, super bad. These two did a really nice job together. Baron stepped up his game and really had a nice outing. Rhino got him through it because Baron's still kind of working through things and working on it. But Rhino made him look like $1 million. And they did a good job together.
Yeah, Rhino was a good opponent for Baron.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
At this point, we went backstage and heard from the NXT champion.
And there is the NXT champion getting set for his matchup tonight with the championship on the line against Sami Zayn.
Listen, man, I'm really sorry to bother you. I know it's a big day, but...
But then you did it anyway. You're sorry, but you're still loving me. That's nice.
I know it's a big day for you, but you've also had a pretty big week, and I just want to get your thoughts on everything that's happened.
Are you referring to NXT taking over Philadelphia and Albany last weekend, where I had not one, not two, but three successful title defenses?
Yeah.
You talking about that? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably also Monday night when I showed up on Raw and shocked the world, not by answering John Cena's little open challenge, but by dropping him where he stood for trying to take credit for the injury that I caused Sami Zayn. Right?
Right.
You know, while I was on Raw, I made sure to show John Cena that this is a real prize by stepping on the U.S. title. So, I guess you're right, Greg. It was a pretty big week. You know what? Tonight's going to be the culmination of that week. Because if you think Sami Zayn is going to take this away from me and my family, well, I guess I have a bit of veteran advice for Sami. See, he shouldn't show up tonight. Because if he does, I promise it's the last time anyone will ever see Sami Zayn. Now we
okay, thank you.
Kevin Owens is focused.
Oh, Kevin, you glorious a-hole, you.
Yeah.
That's...
You know, he was sending a message, and that's what he does. He sent messages, and well, as we saw later, sometimes his messages are right on point.
Yeah, they kind of are. I mean, like him or hate him, Owens can back up everything he says.
Yeah, he can. We then got the NXT Tag Team Championship match, Blake and Murphy taking on Enzo and Kaz. One, Enzo and Kaz have shirts, new shirts now.
Two, Carmella has awesome new gear.
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss is an evil sparkle fairy.
We'll tell you why in a second, but this was a good match, solid match. The early turning point of the match was Enzo on the apron. He got clotheslined, allowing the tag champs to take control of the match. He had a nice double team backcracker, whatever you call it, powerbomb combination. Nice DDT though by Enzo coming off the middle rope. Kaz got the hot tag, ran wild on the tag team champions, including a big boot, knocking one of them off the apron. There was a big side slam by Kaz. He was then dragging Enzo to the corner, put him on the top rope, going for the finish. And then Alexa Bliss showed up and attacked Carmella.
Alexa, that's not nice.
So Kaz was fighting with one of them on the outside. Alexa knocks Enzo off the top rope. Blake and Murphy capitalize, and they retain the NXT tag team titles. So Bliss is magic for the tag team champions.
Evil sparkle fairy, and I'm digging it. Absolutely digging it. But yeah, no. This was a solid match. I mean, that's pretty much, I guess, the worst thing you could say. I don't know. They did their best with each other. I felt like they didn't really have the chemistry they could have.
No, but it was better than I had thought it would be going in.
It was better than I thought it would be going in. Murphy and Blake's entrance is blinding.
I can't even watch it.
But it was worse tonight because they were doing the zoom in and out with the camera as the strobe lights and everything were going off. It's like, oh my god, please stop. You're going to make me motion sick. But that's like my only complaint in this match was just their entrance was so blinding. But I thought everything else was well executed, well done. I like that they've turned Alexa Bliss heel. It works for her. I'm curious to see how they move forward from this one. But yeah, nice job from everybody involved.
Me and the A-ball got this one right. You had the DQ, no titles, and Enzo and Kaz winning. Well, there was interference, but...
And there were no titles,
well,
but they didn't win.
Yeah, they didn't win either. So, we move on, and now we got some stuff to discuss. And that's the NXT Women's Championship Holy Crap match. Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, go.
I want Becky's coat. I want Becky's hair color. Becky went steampunk. Yeah, it was amazing.
Explain to them the coat and... the hair.
Basically, Becky had like a waisted coat with tails and a hood that was really, really, really cool. It had double-breasted buttons, just a really, really nice coat. She dyed her hair orange.
So it's a red orange because there's a little bit of red mixed into it.
Yeah, there's a little bit of red mixed into it, and she had aviator goggles, but or just goggles, whatever you want to call them. But yeah, she made herself stand out from the crowd, which I really, really, really admire and like. The hair color looks nice on her, and she can work it,
yeah.
Which is what you want.
Her skin color matches her, works perfectly with this hair.
Yeah. It just, the whole look works for her. Completely digging it. Sasha looked great. She was rocking what she was doing. This match was not one of the most fast-paced. It was not one of the most exciting matches that we've seen from the Divas. This match was a thing of beauty, though. They went out there, they told a story, and they put on a goddamn clinic.
So, as we were sat here and we were talking during the match, and I was telling Lindsay, it's like, this isn't the best match in terms of the matches we've seen by the women, and this was like halfway through it, because it just wasn't as spot heavy or anything. But they were telling this amazing, amazing story throughout this match, and it was focusing on pure traditional wrestling, working over a body part. And as the match continued to progress, it's like, this is amazing. This is really awesome. Because it was a slower paced match, but at the same time, it told a great, great story. And I just sat here, and we sat here watching it and went, holy crap, I want more of this. Because this is storytelling at its finest.
I wish they would let the main roster divas do matches like this. Do tag matches like they did earlier in the show. I wish the divas on the main roster got the level of respect and were viewed on the same level as the guys as what the NXT divas are. Because the NXT divas are held in as much regard, if not a little bit higher, than the guys. They get time. They're allowed to showcase their skills. They're allowed to steal the show.
Right. I want to explain something to you, because I was just looking through the times throughout the night, right?
Right.
From bell to bell, this went 15 minutes and, let's see, 15 minutes and 33 seconds. That was the longest match on the show.
Yeah. See? Yeah.
Like, the main event was 13 minutes, and that never really had a clear finish. This went 15 and a half minutes bell to bell.
That's not including entrances.
No, that's just bell to bell.
So 20 minutes. They had 20 minutes, essentially.
They had a 20-minute segment. And the first match had almost the first match went 7 minutes bell to bell. And that didn't even feel that like 7 minutes. It felt like they could go longer too.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, this match, I want more of this. I want to see this on the main roster.
Right. As we mentioned, this was about wrestling and storytelling, and they were focusing on body parts, and Sasha focused right in on the arm of Becky Lynch. She had a nice arm breaker by Sasha on the ring apron, which Lindsay went, hey, Bray, that's how you do it.
And to the people that Bray does it to, that's how you sell it.
Yeah. She continued working over the arm of Becky Lynch, including a straitjacket submission. But then there was this moment in this match. And she's just bending the arm back of Becky Lynch. And right there went, ow, 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 that has to hurt. Oh my god, that hurt.
Yeah, there were several moments like that in this match where you're like, ow.
But that's not all she did. She then stepped on the arm as she had it bent backward. Ow, ow. My arm hurt just looking at it. Then Becky Lynch powered out of the armbar submission and like she lifted her up. Got her up straight up in the air on her shoulder and dropped her backwards, which was nice. Becky then hit a missile dropkick, 2 count. Big running knee in the corner for a 2 count. Sasha was trying to pin Becky, but she kept trying to pin Becky as she started getting frustrated. Becky then smashed the arm of Sasha into the ring post, and then she took control. She hit like this Northern Lights suplex with combination with a hammerlock, just driving her up right on her arm. She had a German suplex on her shoulder. There was a nice flip into an armbar submission by Becky, which was really, really nice, that Sasha had to crawl to the ropes. You're building drama at this point. Sasha then went for a dive. Looked like she got Becky with it, but no, Becky caught her and then drove her back first into the steps, which looked like it hurt. really, really hurt. Then Becky was on the top rope. Sasha caught her single arm DDT right down on the arm and locked in the bank statement. Your winner, Sasha Banks, still NXT Women's Champion. Holy crap. This was amazing. Like,
this was a thing of beauty.
It really, really was. Can't say enough about these two girls. Triple H on the conference call on Tuesday said these two are going to steal a show.
Mm-hmm.
These two stole the show.
These two completely stole the show. Becky got a standing ovation after the match was over.
Yeah, that was
bull. When was the last time any of the divas got a standing ovation? I think it was Charlotte and Natty, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Or was it Charlotte and Bayley?
Both, probably.
But both, probably. But yeah, Becky and Sasha got a standing ovation after this match.
But that's NXT. When you say divas, if you go to the main roster, I don't remember the last time a main roster diva got an ovation like that.
Yeah. I mean, these two just went out there, and they had something to prove. You could tell they had something to prove. They both had a chip on their shoulder, and they went out there, and they made the decision they were going to put on the very best match that they could, and they were going to give everything they had to this match. And it shows. It really shows that they cared, and they wanted to do something special tonight. Because, honestly, as we, you know, Rock and I were sitting here watching the show together, and it's, tonight is the night you have to step up. Tonight is the night that you show them what you can do, what you have. This isn't another you show up, you collect a paycheck, you schluff off. This is a you give them 100% and you show what you're capable of, because the higher brass is watching. And if you want to get called up, which Sasha is damn close to getting called up at this point, you give them everything you have. And that's exactly what she and Becky did. And just, it was just something amazing to watch. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it just to see everything that they did, because there was so much going on. It was like, you can't keep track of it. But especially at the end, the spots they were hitting, the things that they were doing, I want more of that. I want to see more of that, because it was amazing.
It really, really was. Man.
Yeah. And if that's not enough.
Yeah, that wasn't enough. By the way,
now we have the main event.
Yeah, by the way, if you're just tuning in, where have you been? This is The Rack right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as by, always by a wrestling figure. Once again, go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs, because we're going long tonight. Sorry about that.
Going long.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, because we're talking TakeOver.
Yeah.
And, well, now we're going to talk about the match, the other match that everybody's kind of anticipating. Zayn versus Owens 2 for the NXT title. They tried to kill each other.
All right. So, before we even get into the match itself, we got to talk about the entrance. Sammy comes out. Ole, ole, ole. Cool. Then Kevin Owens saunters to the ring. And he took his time. He took his swagger time. And when he walked down to the stage, he was not wearing a KO t-shirt.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. The champ was here. He wore the John Cena's U.S. Championship t-shirt.
Again, Kevin, you magnificent a-hole you. Bless you so much.
Right?
He's working it.
Yeah, yeah, he was. The bell sounding, Owen's bell is always singing the John Cena suck songs since Owen was walking around the ring. And this one, they were in the ring a little bit, but then they just went into the crowd and started fighting. That's what they did. They brawled. Owens went for the powerbomb on the outside in the crowd, but Sammy grabbed onto the railing and got out of it. He backdropped Owens back to ringside, got back in the ring, blew Thunderbomb for a two count. Get a half Nelson suplex for a two count, which was amazing. And this is all being done by an injured Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
Owens countered a tornado D, went for the cannonball, Zayn moved, exploder suplex. Owens bailed out of the way and hit the Huluva kick. Zayn with a nice suplex on the floor. He goes charging at Owens. Owens hits the pop-up powerbomb on the side of the ring.
Ow.
And Sami was dead.
Yep, Sami's dead.
Referees came out to check on Sami Zayn. Owens kept going after Zayn. Continued to go after him. Ref continued to pull him apart. Doctors came out to check on Sammy. They were checking his head, checking his shoulder. Owens then drags Sami Zayn into the ring. William Regal comes out. He tries to stop Owens. Well, Owens was having none of William Regal. So, before we continue, let's react to all this first.
It's just, holy crap.
They beat the hell out of each other.
They tried to kill each other.
Mainly Sammy was trying to kill Kevin.
Yeah, Sammy had him mad, which was kind of awesome to see, because Sammy's always so nice and happy and friendly that you really don't think he has that dark, murderous side to him. And, well, apparently he does. And he tried to kill Kevin because he's like, screw you. I pissed at you. Dude, how could you do this to me? And then he just proceeded to beat the crap out of him. Or try to beat the crap out of him. I mean, they went all over the audience area. At one point, I thought they were going to go outside, and it's like, dude, don't pull the Bo Dallas. Security will chase you.
I just imagine Bo Dallas is still running outside being chased.
Bo Dallas is still running from Full Sail Security. I'm convinced of it.
That's why he's never been back.
He's on the lam. But, yeah, I mean, this was, and what was interesting about this was Kevin was taking a lot of the bumps for Sammy, because Sammy is clearly injured. But Kevin was doing everything he could to make Sammy look like $1 million. They were working together. It was a really, really nice story between the two. And up until Kevin Owens decided to murder Sami Zayn. And that's when the story took a turn, and it got even more interesting, because we saw the refs come out. We saw Regal come out and basically stop Owens from doing another powerbomb to Zayn.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. The two got into a scuffle, which, you know, I would not mind seeing William Regal versus Kevin Owens, honestly.
I'm with you on that one.
That would be something to see. But Regal physically pulled Owens away from Zayn.
Yeah.
Physically did it. And got shoved out of the ring for it, but physically pulled Owens off of Zayn before Zayn got a chair. Before Owens got a chair.
So Owens has his chair, and, well, he's ready to strike.
Samoa
Heard it. Samoa Joe is in WWE. He's in NXT. Holy crap.
In the holy shit moment of the night, Samoa Joe walks out in WWE NXT, ironically, on a night where...
It was reported, as we talked about earlier in the show, the report that came out about Destination America...
Canceling TNA.
The
sheer irony of it. But... Yeah, the holy shit moment of the night goes to Samoa Joe walking out, where we all knew he had probably signed. We knew he was going to be there. We figured he would show up, but it was in this capacity where he walks out at the very end of the show, interrupts Owens and Zayn, basically glares at Owens, and he's like, "Don't you dare." The crowd starts immediately chanting, "Joe's going to kill you," and "Fight Owens, fight." And it's like, it's just a stare down between the two, and you're like, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, they had their stare down. Owen left. Crowd was chanting, "This is awesome." Owens came back. It was basically, "Not tonight, not tonight, not tonight."
Yeah, not tonight.
And then Joe was awesome. So, before we're going to talk more about this really quickly. But I have to read a tweet that came out about 51 minutes after, it came out about 20 minutes after the event ended. "Get the official WWE NXT shirt for Samoa Joe, only on WWE Shop."
Was on the ball.
They had a shirt for him ready, the shirt he wore to the ring. I thought, oh, it's just a shirt he had got made up. No, submission specialist Samoa Joe, SoCal. That's his official WWE NXT t-shirt. He has a shirt now, Lindsay.
He had a shirt 30 minutes after the freaking show went off the air.
Yeah.
And, like, apparently it crashed WWEshop.com because everybody was going to get it.
Yeah, I was trying to load the page, and it was just loading very slowly.
So, I mean, good on them for having all that ready. You know, obviously, they were playing coy with it, and bravo to them for it.
Hunter was very coy. Yeah, he stopped by the last time we were in town, and, you know, a lot of people stopped by. Way to keep it under wraps, Hunter.
Hunter working everything.
Yeah, because he never denied it.
Oh, no, he never denied it. Absolutely never denied it. That's the thing. You really kind of can't deny it. But the fact that he's like, oh, yeah, you know, we're just kind of talking, and he's visiting, and, yeah, he's just going to check it out. No, he hasn't signed yet. And, well, then takeover happens, and, oh, hey, look, it's Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, hey.
Hey, look at that. How about that?
How about that?
How you all doing? Right. There's a couple things. I want to talk about or mention from the show, and it involves the Twitter machine, and this is not Tweet of the Week because these were not tweets we use for Tweet of the Week. These are just actual tweets that were put out about the show. Lynn Storm tweeted this: "It wasn't one of the finest women's matches we've seen in NXT. It was one of the finest matches we've seen in NXT." That's from Lynn Storm.
Yeah, and that's about Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch.
Taz, hey Becky Lynch for. Hey, Becky Lynch, WWE vs. Sasha Banks, WWE just upped the game in the females competing in this business. Spectacular. That's high praise from two of the best.
Yeah, it is.
Because these two have trained some of the best in the business, period.
And when they say your match was really good, your match was really good. Like, Becky and Sasha, everybody should be proud. But Becky and Sasha need to give themselves a pat on the back. That was a absolutely beautiful match that they put on.
Right.
I mean, if you go back and you watch nothing else, go watch that match.
Yeah, Lindstrom again tweeted, the NXT women alone are worth more than $9.99 WWE Network. So he goes, so we have Fight Owens Fight versus Baylor, Owens versus Joe, Owens versus Cena to look forward to. Where are my shades? The future looks bright.
Yep.
I couldn't say it any better than Lance Storm just did right there.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm kind of in agreement with that. The future definitely looks bright.
It really, really does. And this show, again, from top to bottom, like, there wasn't even a finish in the main event. Did that matter?
No. I don't think anybody cared. Like, everybody completely forgot Zayn was dead on the mat when Joe walked out.
Yeah.
I mean, just Zayn's laying there. He's got the refs all around him. They're all checking on him. And everybody's like, oh, my God, it's Samoa Joe. Owens and Joe have the stare down. And it's like, in the background, you still see Sami Zayn just dead. Like, Joe was on, came out at, like, what, 5-10 minutes before the show ended? And everybody's just like, oh, my God, it's Joe. And everybody's freaking out. And meanwhile, Sami Zayn is just, like,
dead. Yeah.
Nobody's paying attention to Zayn because it's like, oh, my God, it's Joe.
Yeah. An hour after the show last night, NXT TakeOver was still trending on Twitter. Taz tweeted, shit just got legit when Samoa Joe arrived. It's like, yeah. You got people in the business talking about it. Everyone was talking about this show. It was a must-see show. It was a must-watch show. It was an amazing show. Yeah.
Yeah, main roster, y'all need to step up your game. Because these folks down in NXT, they're coming for your asses. They're coming for your spots.
We talked about this beforehand, and we were like, over the weekend, we were like, it's kind of curious how they played these out.
Yeah, had this gone before Payback, the main roster would have been screwed. Because they would have had to step up to that. Like, basically, the main roster did Payback, and it's like, okay, yeah, beat that. NXT walks out, no problem. I mean, yeah, this was just top to bottom. This was a great, great show. And even the weaker matches on this card delivered. Honestly, we didn't say that for Payback.
Like, the only thing we were really high on, as you heard, was the main event. Because that was a great main event, and that was very fun. But it's like, you had this show from top to bottom. Couldn't go wrong.
No, you really couldn't.
Like, there wasn't... Like, even the worst match on the show wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It was just a typical match. And if typical is the way you play it, can we have more typical?
Yeah, I'm okay with typical. I mean, it's... you can tell everybody on this roster is hungry. You can tell everybody on this roster wants to be there. They want to succeed. They want to get to that next level. They all have that drive to get there. And they all understood what tonight meant. They understand what every live show that they do means, because all the top brass are usually there. They're all watching. They're all evaluating. And every time they do one of these shows, this roster steps up. Like, they're just that motivated to go out there and do the best that they can do and show the best that they can, so they can try and get elevated or they can try to get noticed. Because that's what everybody's trying to do right now, is get noticed. And everybody on this card did their best to get noticed, but I think we know who stole the show, aside from Joe.
Aside from Joe, who was that?
The women? I would say Becky and Sasha. Hands down.
Hands down.
They went out there and blew everybody out of the water. But
Adam Pearce tweeted that night, "I seriously can't help you if you didn't love that hashtag Divas Takeover."
Yeah. I actually kind of want to let them just have their own show. Just give the Divas their own show, please.
Robert Flores tweeted, "This isn't great women's match. This isn't a great women's match. Just a great match. Period. Fantastic storytelling."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is the one that everybody's talking about. They should be extremely proud of themselves for what they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Match of the night, show stealer. You can't get much better than that.
You really can't. To go over the records, you went 2-3, I went 4-1, and we took down the Magic 8 Ball, who went 1-4.
Yes!
Even though I took you down.
Eh.
But we both took down the 8 Ball, so that's what matters.
That's what's important. We took down the 8-ball. We finally took down the 8-ball.
yeah, we finally did. Oh, what a night. What a show.
What a night. What a show. I think we've kept the people here long enough. So I say we're done.
Yeah, Saturday Night Midnight is at CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. You follow us on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBandanas. Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Mason Omega. They'll probably talk this show and preview Elimination Chamber at WTR Sunday, Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday night's the Raw Post, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at WTR_The_Rack, Facebook.com/WTR_The_Rack, at Wild Talk Radio for me, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out RackRadioShow.com, YouTube.com/WTR_The_Rack. Tune in, Stitcher, and iTunes. Search Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. We will be back next week talking all about Elimination Chamber. We will keep you up to date with all the news, with all the notes, with all the stories that are going around, and we may have a discussion or two. Who knows? But before we do that, I say you visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, this has been The Rack, and we will see y'all next week. Bye!